Hi, I'm Tam.
And I'm Eternally Mortal.
And this is the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff. And things.
And Gerald Sturgill.
And we're going to talk
Hi,
with
everyone.
Gerald Sturgill of Sturge today. It's good to have you on the show, Gerald.
Sorry.
This is going to be awesome. I love this. So
one
much
of these days, we'll figure out the three-person intro.
Yeah. Go ahead and say some stuff.
I just want to say I'm really thrilled to be here, guys. You guys are so great. I mean, I really love and adore both of you. And, like, I'm just honored to be here today. And I hope I bring something to you two and then also to your listeners. So I'm just happy to be here.
Aw, that's really, really sweet. I'm not going to just tell you to say just anything ever again if you're going to be nice like that. That's a joke. Thank you. It was very sweet. I really appreciate it. I have a weird tick. Don't worry about it. But yeah, we're doing an interview with Sturge. Tam, did you want to do our shout outs real quick too?
Yeah, before we really get into the Sturge weeds, I haven't read all of these, but there are some that I read some of. So Murphy's Law did an article called Encountering an Abused Student. We read, I think, the first half of this in our writing group. I haven't read the rest of it, but I've read his stuff. Like, it's going to be amazing. And I'm really excited to find out what else he says after the podcast is over. I'm probably going to go read it. So I wanted to shout it out here since I didn't have the opportunity to read it first. I know that it's good.
Right, absolutely.
Here, I'm going to read it as well.
And shout out to Murphy's Law, part of our writing group.
And then there's Ute Lepperts did My Real Name is Kali, which I don't know if that is actually her real name. I'm, again, did not have a chance to read these, but I know all of these writers and they write good stuff, and I'm planning on reading it after the podcast. So it's a really scuffed episode, guys.
Yeah, we're doing a little bit of a struggle this last week or whatever, but we, these are writers that we've definitely shouted out and read many times before, and we're just looking forward to reading them, like, at this point, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and this one, she published in Catharsis Chronicles, so, like, it's going to be good.
Hell yeah.
I can tell from that, like, it's going to be good. And then the other shout out is A Familiar Face in a Strange Place by Ben Ulansey,
which currently in our chat right now.
I'm not entirely sure what this is going to be about, but I have a feeling that it's going to be about one of his travels, and he has...
I've read it.
Like, I feel like I'm experiencing the rest of the world vicariously through Ben, so I'm really excited to get to read that one as well.
Would you like to say a couple of words about how you felt about it, Sturge? You don't have to. Just asking if you want to.
I'm not... Without getting too much into it, it's while he's in Belize... I want to say it's spectacularly narrated, well written. I mean, without getting too deep into it, I want people to actually read it. I think it's worth reading for sure. It's fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah.
I should have known awesome. That you had read it because it was published in Digital Global Traveler.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's my publication.
Yeah,
we'll get to that later.
Yeah. So those are my shout outs. Super brief because I did not read them, but I am going to read them, and I hope that whoever is listening will also read them because they're all great authors or writers, and yeah, they're going to be great stories.
Yeah.
I don't know whether to call people authors or writers. That's confusing to me.
They're interchangeable.
Are they?
I feel like they are. Like, some people argue with me, well, author, you have to be published.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't think so. I think
it's a little subjective, but I think a lot of people probably use them interchangeably. But there's probably going to be some people that are pretty staunch about what they want, but I don't think we need to worry too much about it.
Word whore.
God. Robin's got the best answer ever.
I think I'm going to start calling myself a word whore also.
I've definitely been a word whore my whole life. I love words. I will give it to any word that's interested. I'm sorry, I shouldn't go that far. Anyway,
even that long ass name of that city in Wales,
you know that? the Llewellyn, yeah, that place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah,
Chthonic? Is that how I say that one? Is that chthonic?
That's
Is
the
that
opposite
about?
of cathartic, isn't it? He wrote
Is this?
about it somewhere, and I vaguely remember the word, but it's not like nobody ever uses it. So it's one of those words that,
Nah,
is it
well,
not?
I'm hoping it's Cthulhu related.
Underworld
Honestly.
related. Oh, I really thought that it was the opposite of catharsis. Cthulhu. Yeah, it does have a reminiscent Cthulhu thing to it.
It was pretty close. You had to type that out. I just had to say it. You were probably there before me, honestly.
Yeah, which means she thought of it before you did.
Exactly.
Yep.
All of us were thinking
So, anyway.
Yeah. So let's get to our guest, Gerald Sturgill, the Sturge. Thank you so much for
Are
being
we
on our
saying your
show.
last name right? I can't tell if it's Sturgill or Sturgill.
No, you've been saying it right.
Sturgill. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Yeah, you're kind of a legend in the medium sphere, as far as I know. You're kind of everywhere. Tam, do you want to go over some stats, or do you want to let Sturge just do like an intro of what? Well, where do you want to go next? I have the notes, but I haven't looked at them.
You should look at the notes when I give you notes.
Yeah, I know.
It would
They're
be a
just
lot
obscure.
easier.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole point of notes.
Especially when I just jump in and start saying stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, so Sturge, anybody who hasn't heard of him, which I can't believe anybody hasn't heard of him, but let's assume that somebody out there that's listening to this just so happens to be like the one person that hasn't heard of Sturge. At this point in time, he has over 8,000 followers. He's written at least 1,500 stories, probably way more by now. He owns six publications on Medium. He is an editor for God knows how many others. I don't know how many others, but I know that there are 15 other ed that's not even the six that you own. 15 other publications that you're an editor for, and a Boost nominator. So obviously he's an overachiever.
Just a little
And he's widely known and extremely accomplished. Most people, like I said, if you've never heard of him, like go find him, 'cause trust me, everybody else has already heard of him. So why haven't you? You must be new.
Not to mention that Sturge has been a big contributor to our chat for the entirety of the time. I think that we've had a chat available to us for the podcast. Keeps us entertained and going sometimes, and just a delight. And just about every single article we bring up to talk about on this program, Sturge is like, "Oh yeah, I've read that one," or at least I know that author.
A lot of the writers that we shout out to or directly talk about their articles, they came from Sturge in some way. Not all of them, but a good portion of them.
For sure.
Despite all of that stuff, I know Sturge has told me in the past he even has had writing lulls, like everybody does. But like with all of these accolades, it's an interesting perspective that you can still end up having kind of like writer's block or just moments of frustration and not wanting to come back to writing. I'm wondering, how do you stay so inspired to continue building this Sturge empire?
That's a good question, Tim. For me, the lulls come and go, you know. I'll have my moments where I just don't feel like writing, or I get afraid of writing, or I start comparing myself to others, and it just feels a little daunting. Especially with my role as a Boost nominator, I get to see so many wonderful stories almost all the time because I have to go through a ton of stories to find ones that are worth presenting to the curators at Medium so that, they can boost them. And sometimes when I compare myself to certain writers and put myself in a position like that, I start to feel like maybe this isn't right for me. But then at sometimes I'm like thinking, what am I even thinking? I feel like my words can make a difference, like whether like whatever emotion that is, if I'm making somebody laugh, smile, cry, or think, it's just if anybody could just even relate to like what I'm going through or my struggles, my vulnerabilities. If it's even just one person, like if I just get validation from one person, like I feel like that's enough. That makes me feel good about what I'm doing. Like that, despite these lulls, when I realize why I'm doing this, it keeps me going. I think that's important to understand why you're doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
Sounds like it goes into my next question of like, because a lot of people are motivated by money on Medium, your stories aren't even paywalled. So like, you obviously have a different motivator than the majority of writers. And it sounds like is that what you would say is like your motivation is just trying to reach out to other people?
Yeah, well, what it started out as, because when I started back in August of 2021, I had just been denied for Social Security disability. And I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I was just like, what am I even doing at this point? I'm just doing a routine where I can't work. And then I'm like playing video games all day and laying down because I can't really do much else. And I got to like, look around, and I was trying to figure out what another hobby for me would be. And I think at that point, I saw Medium, like it was in the periphery. I started watching videos. I saw Zulie Rain, and she inspired me and brought me to Medium. And then from there, it kind of became something that I started to like a lot, and then got to love. And I think what happened. I wasn't able to paywall. So at first, like I was restricting myself in that respect out of necessity because of the restrictive rules of disability. I'm not doing this to try to earn an income like as a job. I'm doing this as a hobby because I love writing. And really that's what it comes down to. What motivates me is I love writing and I love inspiring people and I love imparting my wisdom on people. And the thing is, I actually went to school originally to become a teacher. And the thing is like I feel like I can still kind of carry out those teacher like duties with Medium, with like all the things that I do for Medium, like editing, publishing, writing,
Yeah, absolutely.
all those things. Like all of that ties into what I was really meant to do. And that gives me a lot of satisfaction, a lot of validation, a lot of way.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I find smiles in it, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And being able to teach through Medium in a way makes it to where not only are you getting to kind of target what it is that you're teaching in a way that you couldn't as a regular teacher, but also your students are coming to you. They're choosing to come
Yeah.
to you instead of being forced to, like a lot of, I don't know what kind of teacher you were thinking about from before, but I wanted to be a teacher too, so like I see what you're talking about and I think that's amazing.
Nice. I was super into math, and I was gearing up to become a math teacher, and I love numbers. I still love numbers,
How
which is weird.
ironic.
Why?
Me too.
It's weird. I ended up in a what they usually say is like the opposite field of number. Like you're either a writer or you're good with numbers, but some people are just good with both, I guess.
Yes, yeah, some people just fall in love with both of them, you know?
Exactly.
And I kind of did the same thing because I've always been a reader and I've always wanted to be a writer, and so I've always loved words and I've always loved numbers too.
I would wager that the commonality between the two is calculating, because you can calculate your words just as much as you can calculate numbers. And
Oh, could be.
they have similar effects. Like if you say this chain of words to a person, it tends to have this as, on the other side of the equals sign. And so, like, it has
Sure.
that similarity, in my mind at least.
And then
Yeah,
there's a
similarity.
formula to writing too.
Yeah.
You start with an introduction. You end with a strong conclusion. But in the middle, that's where you really have to build your argument. You're basically saying this is why this plus this plus this plus this equals this. And
Of
that's
course,
like a complex math equation.
you could still break the rules like they do in quantum quantum physics all the time and then come up with new stuff. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love Robin's answer for why I do it. And it's not wrong to a degree, even though I've been with my partner over a decade. I mean, I do kind of do it for the bitches.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not lying. I'm kind of a whore.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do when you become a rock star, you know? That's just kind of what happens. Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Robin's cracking me up.
And thank you, Robin, for being here in chat. That's awesome.
Yeah, Robin and Ben are—they're really, really. I hold them in high regard, high esteem. And those are some of the writers that I compare myself to at times. But I mean, not everybody can be a Robin Welding or a Ben Ulansey. They're both of me, and I think they know that I know that and that I appreciate them, and they help me out a lot with running my empire and helping me with things. And you know, Yeah, I'm going to get all sappy if I keep talking, so I'm going to close that.
You want to move on to the next line of questioning?
Yeah, let's move the interview forward.
Okay.
But well done on being vulnerable on the Vulnerability Podcast. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I might start crying at some point, so let's
keep going.
Maybe that could be a soundbite. Yeah.
Well, you know, Starge, you come up with a lot of things that are like almost, I would consider them to be hyper vulnerable. Like you have a real look at my personal hygiene routine, which goes really in depth about that exactly as you would expect. Or there's the Camp Fappening, a saga with my stall neighbor, which gets uncomfortably vulnerable, which I mean, that was the situation you were in, not that you did something that made us feel uncomfortable, but that you were conveying a discomfort, an uncomfortable situation that you were experiencing. How do you deal with people that come to those vulnerable articles with either judgment or hatred in the comments?
Okay, I feel like your question is a two-pronged question, so I'm going to start with the first part of that.
Okay.
And the first part of that question, Tam, is, you know, I do write those hyper-vulnerable stories, and a lot of times my intention is to make people uncomfortable or to fight back against it, and I feel like that's something that I like doing because I guess I can be a bit mischievous at times.
A bit.
But I also like to have fun with my writing.
Sure.
So even though I'm being hyper vulnerable, I'll add elements of humor to it to make it more palatable.
Right.
So I just think like, and there's also when you're in those situations, like I wish like there were more articles about people just being fully honest about stuff because, you know, like there are things that people don't want to ask or admit to that they've been in situations, in certain situations where they won't figure out how to handle that. So I kind of want to bring these stories to the forefront so that people can see that being represented and they can be like, oh, well, okay, this probably isn't that bad then or whatever, or they can relate to it.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't know if you guys are reading the chat right now, but it's, oh jeez.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You mean Ben's comment?
Yeah, I'm not slipping and saying any of those words today. although if I did like jokes that if I did get into Dutch, I would accidentally say a Jewish slur, because there's a word in Dutch that sounds like a word that's been used against Jews for a long time, and I'm not saying I support that, but I do a lot of my Dutch lessons on Duolingo, and a lot of them are speaking, so I actually have to say the word, and it sounds like word that is offensive to
That's unfortunate.
There's one in Chinese, I think, or maybe it's Korean, maybe both.
Oh, no, it's Chinese. I know the word.
Yeah,
it's a filler. It's like when
it's
you say
word.
In English, like you're saying but it's I'm not saying it.
Yeah.
And then to the second part of your question, because I do want to get to the second part of that. I feel like putting myself out there does bring me more criticism and judgment than I should probably like or even want to bring to myself, especially in my vulnerable situation at times, because I'm in an RV and with our roof situation and all that stuff, like we're very noticeable when we're out.
Yeah.
I feel like I handle these situations pretty well, though. Like I've learned to roll with the punches, because like when you're on medium as long as I have been, and I've almost been on for 3 years now, you get those detractors, you get those people who are either trolling you or are genuinely upset about what you have to say, and you just have to. You don't have to like internalize it, and you don't have to like, toughen up against it, but I feel like that's what I do. I take it. I'm like, I either engage with them, and if I feel like a conversation with them about it, even though we disagree, would enlighten the situation or give them some perspective on why I feel the way I do, like, that's fine. I can do that. And I'm okay with that. And I've gotten into situations where I've actually had full-on arguments in my comments sometimes, and I know that's not healthy, but whatever. Like, I have fun with it.
It really depends
But
on how you respond to it, yeah.
yeah. And then the thing is, I don't have to put my energy into something every time, like especially since commenting and responding is optional. Like that's not something you're required to do on Medium. I do try to respond to everybody when they engage with me, but I really really don't like I can't get to all my comments. I have a lot of followers. I have a lot of people who say things to me, and sometimes I'll miss like certain things. Like if somebody is mad at me, they'll say something, and if I ignore it, I ignore it. It's fine. Like I've just gotten used to having detractors. It's just a part of life, Like we have to deal with the people who don't agree with us or that feel like what we're saying isn't valuable or as valuable as what they have to say. And that's just their perspective. And
Yeah.
I can just be a number of
That's a great answer. I just have to say, that's a great answer.
And I want to commend you also because like there's plenty of content creators out there, even on this platform, Medium, that had stopped reading comments long ago. They just decided that like, you know what, I don't have to. I don't need to read the comments. I'm just writing for the reasons that I want to write, and it gets out there and it gets out there. But you're still engaging, and sure, some of it's shit. I get that, but you're still engaging. It takes a lot of courage. I just wanted to point that out and commend you for it because,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
hell yeah, right? Look at that.
So, in early June, when we were kind of conceptualizing this interview, you wrote this article that is out of place on my thing, called Be Afraid and Feel Challenged in Your Writing and Creativity, which took me a while to read because I wasn't ready to feel afraid. I wasn't ready to like confront that portion of writing at the time. But after reading it, like it's really good. And you're right. I completely agree. You should feel afraid and feel challenged when you're writing. So I'm wondering, what are your biggest writing fears that you are tackling right now?
I've kind of like tackled this question in a matter of different angles with some of my previous questions or answers in the interview today. But I kind of want to delve a little bit more into it because my greatest fears are kind of complicated. I
Okay.
suffer from being like a chronic overthinker. So like I'm always overthinking stuff, like whether it's am I good enough to do this? Am I as good as this writer? Am I saying something that would possibly offend this person, like this group? Just things like that. Like I'm always thinking about every single possible thing that that could go wrong if I publish something. And I sometimes fall into the trap of just not doing it because of that. Like I'll think of a brilliant idea, something I actually came up with the other day. I still haven't published, but I think I might after this interview. It's actually pretty funny. I think it's funny, but I don't know. It might not be well received, but that's okay as long as I can get it out there. I think it'll be good. But the
I
idea
do.
and concept would be pretty offensive and kind of terrible, but it's funny. Like I think it's just hilarious. And I'm just saying, like I shouldn't overthink that. Like I should just do it. Just write the story, put it out there and see how it's received and then go from there. Like I mean
Right. You can do the
what is it?
thing. Yeah.
What is that saying that they say? Like, do it first and then apologize, or you know
Oh,
what I'm
no,
trying to say?
it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, or
There it is.
it's more successful to ask for permission or forgiveness than permission. And yeah,
Exactly.
I think unless you're doxing people or being like or dehumanizing entire sections of the human race, I think you can probably just put whatever you want online and then deal with the aftermath, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
And
For...
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Ben is really
Well,
stuck on this specific
yeah. But
thing.
what I've come to realize through my fears, too, is that we're all different. We all bring a set of skills to the table that are valuable in one way or another. And we just have to figure out what those are. Or even like if you like I think it's just more about writing about what you know because like so you won't see me like writing technical articles. I'd be afraid to do that. Like I'm not a technical writer. I'm definitely somebody who writes personal stories, as you can see, and somebody who draws from their own personal experience. I just feel like I overcome those doubts, I overcome those lulls, and I basically if I have a story to tell, I'm just gonna tell it. That's how I overcome my fear too. And I try to just push the overthinking away.
Now,
Yeah.
I know that you read a lot,
Oh, yeah.
and I'm wondering, because you mentioned that, sometimes these fears have held you back in the past. Do you see other writers that are held back in similar ways?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see, I mean, a lot of writers on Medium, I feel like. Like, there are some writers who won't write about certain topics, even if they relate to those topics, because. I guess they feel like, how am I going to be perceived if I write this? I'm not going to dox anyone, but there are some personal friends who I have who could write things in certain topics who won't write those things because they just don't want to either associate with them or delve into it. You know what I mean?
Like, I feel like you're
So.
calling me out, but I have a feeling it's not just me.
No, it's not just you, but it wasn't you. I mean, now that you say it, I guess that could be. I guess a lot of us could relate to that.
Yeah.
So there's another thing too. So I wrote a whole so I was trying to go a whole year writing daily prompts, right? Because I was part of this group that was headed up by a popular writer back in the day. This was like 2022. We were all in a group and we were all writing the same daily prompts, and I was comfortable with that. Sure, that's not original, whatever. But I got to a point where somebody criticized me for doing that because I overused them, and I was doing it even though my goal was to write one prompt per day for the whole year. I stopped right around my birthday because I was just like, you know what? Like, I let it get to me. I let that get to me. I let that criticism get to me. I was just like, you know what? I guess I'm at a crossroads at this point. I'm just going to quit on my goal and refocus what I'm going to write about. And that's what I did at that point. So, I mean, I do like we were talking about before, I do let certain things get to me sometimes because I do overthink. But at the same time, and also going back to your question that involved people criticizing me and stuff like that, that comment actually did get to me. So.
So it has happened that you've been affected by some of that stuff, but you've bounced back, right? Because like you've got articles, 1,500 articles, and so you've clearly gone through that thing, sort of thing, a couple of times, and you know
Oh, more than
that's
a couple, yeah.
pretty powerful, and it could be inspiring for people that are afraid to, you know, get into the ring with some of the people that are willing to say some weird shit on co in comments. I don't know that 100% that it will, but it can.
Yeah. The thing is, Medium will, to an extent, will kind of moderate what they can say to you, but it won't completely shut it out. Like somebody could still come at you negatively, in a certain way, and Medium, they're like, well, this isn't against the rules, so
I've had
technically
that
they're allowed to.
happen where they were
Yeah.
like kind of bullying me, and I reported them like, this is bullying, and they're like, yeah, it's not against our terms. And I'm like, good to know. Thanks.
No, that it happens. I've run into that myself. I wouldn't say recently. Like I've been more sporadic recently, and that's not just because of the fear I had before. It was also due to life, you know, having to travel around and everything, and you know, prioritize other things that I needed to do, especially building my you know, building my publication empire. Again, we'll get to that, I think, in a little bit, because I think that's something that I want to shout out probably at the end or something.
Good
Yeah.
for foresight there, like foreshadowing.
We're definitely going to give you an opportunity to plug anything that you want to plug. Where were we at with
Wait, Mortal,
your.
I can plug anything at the end?
Oh my goodness. So moving on. So
I mean, you're giving me permission, right? This is
Moving
consent.
on. Moving
So
on.
I was wondering, with all of this like fear focus,
Like
right?
staring at me.
Do you find, because you're a nominator, do you find that that sort of fearless writing gets boosted more? Like, is it more quote unquote boostable, as they say, that you
I think
know
it
of?
depends. If you're writing fearlessly, but also doing to a shock value degree like I do sometimes, that might be a little too far for a boost. But if you're vulnerable enough and you let people into your experience and into your story, there are stories that are so much more boostable than ones where you hold back a little bit more. But you're not just putting anything out there. I feel like you have to craft it in a way where it's still valuable to the reader, but at the same time, drawing from your personal experience and giving people that insight into your life is a huge part of why people become successful with their stories. They find a way to write from their heart and really connect with their audience. And I think those are the stories that you really see that are featured by the platform.
So you would probably say that, to sum it up, the writing should be like unique but also relatable.
Correct.
Yeah.
And vulnerable, it sounds like.
And
And vulnerable.
vulnerable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, depends. Like
I feel like
if
the
it's like,
vulnerability is in either the uniqueness or the relatability or sometimes both.
oh, valid. That's valid. That's valid.
Definitely.
So I don't know how many people go into your lists, 'cause you have like a million lists. Like you went list crazy. But one of your
On list.
lists has 255 stories where you were curated when Medium was still doing curation. I didn't find anything about boosted. I know you've been boosted, but you don't seem to have a list for that yet. So
Yeah, I gave up on listing my boosts, although I might go back in someday. Right now, so if you want to know how many boosts I actually have, I have two, and I'll send you the links to both of them.
only
They're actually
two.
pit. Yeah, it's surprising too.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not gonna say. I don't know if I can say this about myself, if I'm qualified to say this about myself, but I feel like I'm criminally underrated when it comes to the boost. So I don't try to promote myself, so well, not all the time. Like there are times when I have to, but what is Robin saying? You only post your own pubs and you're the number for that pub. Yeah, true.
So you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot in some ways.
I guess if I branched out a little bit, I'd probably get my boosts. I don't know. Maybe.
I wonder
It's
if
not
Medium,
important.
I wonder if Medium
Yeah.
takes into account whether or not the articles are, what's the word? Paywalled, whatever the thing is.
No, they
No,
don't.
they don't.
Because people who aren't paywalled get boosted all the time. But no, the two stories that I have that are boosted are pinned on my account. They're Thinking Back on an Unsustainable Diet and a 12-Step Program and a Dramatic Weight Loss. It was published in Illumination Curated. It's a, I want to say, 9-10 minute story about going through like an addiction recovery program to lose weight. It's like one of those food addict groups. And basically, I chronicle how much weight I've lost in that year, what I had to do to get to that weight, how the group helped me and supported me through that, and how, you know, like just trying to inspire people that it's possible to lose weight and all that. I mean, I've since gained it back, but like in that moment when I was in that program and committed to it, I was able to lose the weight, but it was unsustainable, like I said in the title. That's really an unsustainable health lifestyle unless you're like really just hyper focused on it. Like, I don't think most people can complete that without slipping at least once.
Understood.
Yeah. The other story that I had that was boosted is actually from my own publication, Digital Global Traveler. So Robin is half right on that. I actually did get boosted in my own pub, and it wasn't even me who did the boost. It's called What Not to Do When Driving by Someone's Home. And this was a story about people gawking at how unique our RV looks and how we were in the cabin. There was this guy taking pictures of our RV while we were in the cabin. I was looking at him, and he kind of looked like a creep. So I
Rude.
basically wrote that it's rude to do that, especially when you can see the people right in the cab taking pictures. I'm like, what's he gonna do? Is he gonna post those pictures online and tell people to like target us or something? Like, I don't know what's going on there. Maybe he's just admiring it, but he didn't ask for consent. Like,
Yeah,
I'm in
that's crappy.
the lurch in that. Like, I have no idea what he's wanting to do with those pictures.
Yeah, that sucks. Sucks a lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Out of all of your, 1500 plus articles, do you have a favorite or favorites?
I have some favorites. My favorite types of stories that I write are usually the ones that I just get really silly with and go like humor. Humor is really like one of my favorite genres, and I really do like writing humor. I didn't do it as much for a while, but I had a feeling you might ask me this question, so I actually brought a list of four stories that I want to share with everyone that I love.
Nice. You'll
One of
have to
them's
send me
called
the
What
links.
I will. One of them's called What Do Women Really Want in Bed? And it's hilarious and not what you're expecting.
No,
Um,
because
the other,
you're gay.
yeah. The other one is Your Husband Is Dead and Your Baby and Cat Can Talk. That one gets very absurdist,
I love that.
and it's to the point where like it's wacky. It's a wacky story, and I love it. One that I wrote recently, actually, for Mudium is called What to Do When You Have a Little Money to Work With. And I'm proud of this one. I wrote this one in a half hour in a workshop for Mudium. So they have this weekly writing group, and it's on Sundays at 3 Eastern. So I go in there, right? Bust this
Oh.
out, because the prompt for that day was understatement. So I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, how can I do humor with understatement? And I came up with this guy who wins the lottery and wins $270 million, and he's trying to budget. So it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Right on. It's
Yeah,
fantastic.
and then the other one that got a lot of engagement, a lot of attention, even without being boosted, this was before the boost, was I never thought I'd see these two stores next to each other in a mall. And it was me. It was just a picture I saw. I took a picture of it, right? And it was a BJ's next to a Dick's Sporting Goods. So it was BJ's and Dick's. And the way that I observe this and write this article, I'm humor. It's obviously humor. It's inspired. Like, I just see this place randomly because I'm in Buffalo taking a picture. I'm like, oh my God, this is not real. And I wrote a story about it, and it was amazing.
That's awesome. I love that. And I'm glad it got engagement too. That's hilarious. I think
Oh,
Ben has a question for you in chat, by the way.
oh, okay, let's see what the question Ben has. Would you recommend joining in on those? I've
The
been curious.
I think
Muddy
he
stuff.
means the
Oh
Mudium
yeah, for
sessions.
sure. Oh yeah. No,
Are they
they're deep.
open
Yeah, they're
to
open.
anybody?
So you go to Mudium.org. So I'm plugging them
Whoa.
first. Plug
Okay.
myself.
All right.
Mudium.org, and you go in, and it says Writer's Workshop. Click on the link, or click on the thing, and put your name in there and your email. You sign up for the course every week, and you just let them know you want to be at the next workshop, which is every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is 2 p.m. Central, which is actually the same time as our writing group every week, which is,
Well,
we'll address that after.
we've moved our writing group an hour earlier, so I've been thinking about maybe joining you
I
in
mean,
the Mudium
yeah.
group because I'm
love
trying to do comedy too.
it. Yeah.
It's a new endeavor
That'd
for
be so
me.
much fun. The meetup in person, so Ben's asking a question here. Are they doing in-person meetup soon too? That is in October. And that's in I want to say, I can't remember the exact name of the place, but it's on the Hudson River somewhere. So it's close to Ben a little bit, like a few hours drive up. Rhinebeck, I want to say that sounds right, but I don't think that's the exact name. And Tony Stubblebine, the CEO of Medium, is going to be at the in-person meetup.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's gonna be well organized for
It's a
sure.
big hole to do then, huh?
Especially since Tony's gonna be there. I mean, I
Yeah, that's
just
the
made it
boss
that
man.
much. That's the boss man going to a Mudium rider retreat.
Where is
Yeah,
that
I'm
gonna be, the in-person thing?
Like New York
It's in
or
eastern New
Northeast somewhere.
York.
Yeah.
Yeah,
No,
that's never
well,
happening for
I mean
me.
Northeast, but
No.
Hudson River, yeah. Like
No.
in two a couple hours of, north of New York City.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, good plug. Good
Good plug.
plug.
Based on that, is there anything else you'd like to promote?
Sure. Well, so I'll send you this too, but I have the links to all my publications, and I'm just gonna plug them all here now. I'm gonna start off with my newest one, Rainbow Road, which is my LGBTQ pub. It's open to all LGBTQIA, E2S plus members of the community and the allies, of course. Tam actually is my co-editor there, which is pretty awesome. Doing great so far. So
Oh, thank
let's
you.
see. Medium, another one on Medium is the Digital Global Traveler publication. That's my Boost nominator pub. And that one is mainly travel and culture. Sometimes I'll like languages and stuff and like just anything related to the world, but travel and culture are the focus. And we have the Creative Collective, which was really built out at this point. I rebranded it from the Random Nerdiness Collective. It's just a general interest pub. You can send anything in. And under the old name, I felt like it was more exclusive than inclusive. I did get a lot of nerds that wanted to publish there, which is awesome. Like you can write about games, you can write about your favorite TV shows, whatever. And
Yeah.
that I still want those. I still want those stories. Like,
I still want
by
those
the way,
nerds.
Mortal. By the way, Mortal, I added you to that publication as a writer since you did consent to me adding you to a couple of my publications. So I did that.
Okay. Good to know.
Then Funny Ink, which is my humor pub, and a rumor has it that somebody in the audience loves this pub. So I just wanted to give her a shout out really quick. It's funny. And then, yeah, Robin. All right, a press box. So I actually have another Boost nominator in that pub. It's a sports publication, and he boosts the sports stories in there, sports and sports memoir.
Hey,
And
wait.
then,
Wait. I want to interrupt. How do you feel about esports?
esports. We'll go in there. That's fine.
That is a great way to get Mortal to write more. Good job.
I'm gonna
You
add you to
might.
the press box.
Is a possibility. It is a possibility that I might decide to write some stuff about Rocket League.
That's awesome. Do it. And then the community building movement, which is one that I haven't built up as much as the other ones, and it's my smallest one at this point. But it's one that I focused on, like r reading and writing groups, like engagement, community, and life. That's one that's not gonna take a complete backseat, but at this point, I still want to build that out a little bit, maybe rebrand it. So I'm going to put that one on hold for now. But if you want to write for it, we still have active editors there. And speaking of that, that's a perfect segue to my next part because I want to give a special thanks to all of my editors, even in name. Ben and Robin in the audience today. They in name they're editors for my pubs. They don't have to do anything much, although Ben. Actually, I'll talk to you about it after, but yeah, well, I mean, it's I love all my editors. We got Peter Murphy, Harry Capelli, Brian Gilmore, the Accidental Monster Tam, obviously, L. Becker, I already mentioned Ben, Nani Hurley, Kathy Minakazi, Robin Wilding, well, in name also, and then Claire Kelly. And I work with a lot of other great editors in all of the publications I'm in. I could name everybody, but that would be an entire episode by itself. I absolutely love the people I work with, and I'm surrounded by a bunch of talented and passionate individuals. It's just amazing. This isn't even a job for me. This is a hobby, and I feel like it's become a family. And I think that's the takeaway here. Without all this help and without all this support, I would be nowhere.
That's amazing. And you've kind of done it, you know, like Medium is a writing platform, and it's also a social media platform, and a lot of people go to social media to try and find community, and you found community. Like, I don't know many people on Medium. I'm still pretty distant from the platform, but
You
half the
still need to
names you
watch community.
half the names you mentioned that just now, I know those names. So, you know, you really built a community. Tam, you built a community too. That's
Yeah.
cute. I think it's awesome. Good job, my friends.
Do you feel left out, mortal?
No, not really. I haven't really tried to build a community, just like I haven't tried to date in 8 years, you know? Like, once I try something, if it doesn't work out, then I can go feel sad about it. But until I try, it's just something I haven't gotten to yet.
That's fair.
Dating's overrated.
We'll see.
So I'm out of questions now, so I guess that's the episode.
Kind of. It was a good episode. We really enjoyed getting to talk to Sturge. Like I said, it just such a huge part of Medium, at least from my perspective and from what I believe Tam's perspective as well. Though I could be wrong about that. Tam has been on Medium a heck of a lot longer than I have.
Oh, Ben has more questions. All right,
I,
that's
I,
fine, you know.
well, that was proffered by someone not Ben, so I don't know 100% if that's accurate. There was a question that I wanted to get to possibly in the after party because
Novella. That's my favorite N-word. Novella.
Hold on. I can't. Wait. Hold on. Can I solve the puzzle?
What puzzle?
Can I solve the puzzle?
Is there a puzzle?
Sure. What's I don't know what the
Oh,
puzzle is,
Wheel of
but
Fortune? Are we playing Wheel of Fortune? Go ahead, solve the puzzle, please. Oh, I can't see anything right now. I can't see any of the gifts. I don't know what's happening. Tam, you're on your own.
I can't describe it without being
You don't
wrong.
have to. You don't have to describe it. You know,
It's a
No, that's not my.
Jeopardy. It's a Jeopardy thing.
It's Wheel of Fortune. It's Wheel of Fortune.
Just
Oh.
delete it if it's dicks. That's all I'm saying.
It's not
No.
dicks. In some ways it's a little worse, but
It's a little
it's
worse.
missing an A. Guys, it's an A that is supposed to go in there. It is an A. All right. That's all I gotta say. It's A.
I wish my Discord would load
Yeah.
the gifts, but unfortunately, I'm left in the
I
dark on
like the
this one.
word necromancy. That's a cool word.
Necromancy is
That is
fun.
a good one too.
I like the Necronomicon. I think that's a fun name for an evil
Ooh.
book.
Yes, the Necronomicon.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
like it's not an N-word, but the title, the Satanic Bible by
Anton LaVey?
is that Anton LaVey?
I thought it was Anton LaVey. I think I have it somewhere. Nelson?
Nathan?
Yeah, it is
How's
Anton
my
LaVey. I was about to say that. I don't know. I don't even know why. Yeah, you're right.
It happens. But as
Yeah. Ooh.
another word, I like Nathan. Nathan was the name I potentially might give to a son someday.
Oh, that's nice. I like the name Nicholas. I actually dated a Nicholas, but he was a sociopath.
One of my favorite content creators is dating a Nicholas, and he's hot.
Oh my God, I think I just doxed somebody. But I didn't say their last name, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's a billion Nicks out there.
Yeah.
So there was.
We can just all say
Nick
we're talking about Nick Cage. Every single
Nickelodeon.
one of us is talking about Nick Cage specifically.
I thought there was a thing that you were gonna say, Gerald. Did like, I assumed maybe the beginning, but your thing didn't happen. We didn't set you up properly, I guess.
What?
What thing?
The. I don't know how to say it without giving anything away. The thing that we talked about in the pre-show that Ben was
Oh,
sort of a part of, but he didn't disappear.
yeah, no, we didn't get to that. I mean, it's pretty awesome. So, my agent, and I were talking about this before the interview started, right? Like, we were discussing the terms of this interview, and I was told this was a clothing optional interview. So, since it's like 90 degrees outside, I decided to go optional.
You
I hope that's
did.
okay with you. Yes.
Wait, who was this agent again?
So this agent was actually Ben Ulansey, and I think he set me up.
Oh, Ben, how could you do this to us?
He booked me on the show, and then I'm just out here with my butt, all sweaty and hanging with my bits out. So
Did you get the
that was a bad.
creative fee we gave to Ben as the agent? This is all a bit. I have to be honest. I
I had
can't.
to give him 25. I had to give him 25% of all of it.
Should we consider this shots fired for the olive wars? Have the olive treaties come to an end?
The olive treaties have come to an end. It's full on olive mayhem again.
I just want to announce I'm not good at bits, and Ben is delightful and wonderful. I just want to make sure that we all know that.
I love Morton's conscientiousness. It's just so endearing.
I know. To be fair, when the Olive Wars like really got kind of into it, I pulled Ben aside on Discord privately, and I was like, I just want to make sure that like none of this is serious, and if you are at all upset with anything, like this isn't serious. We can stop it at any time. And he's like, nah, this is hilarious. Mortal got to me.
Oh no, I my chat stopped. Oh no.
Again?
I don't have new chat. And the last time I tried to fix this, it kicked Sturge, and so I'm afraid.
Don't do
So
it.
I'm just gonna leave it. I don't get to see chat anymore. That's totally fine.
Robin's never heard of the Olive Wars.
Wait.
Well, I mean,
So,
this is a good place to end the actual episode, and then we can discuss the Olive Wars in the post show as a
Perfect.
kicker.
So, final words before we end the episode, Sturge?
Love yourself always.
Heck yeah. Oh,
Taking
that's right.
mine.
We do a whole thing at the
Yeah,
end
we
of the
do a whole thing
episode.
at the
Oh
end.
my God, I'm so glad. It was Sturge, you saved my ass.
So I want to thank all of the people that came to the pre-show or to the live action show, Ben Ulansey and Robin in our live audience. Thank you so much.
And you, dear listener, can be a part of the live action by joining our Discord through themonsteralley.com, which also has links to our articles, Spotify, and Substack. And special bonus, the Substack is the only place to get the fucking uncensored version.
You didn't do your smiles thing.
Yeah, I was smiling at the I was smiling at the I was smiling at fucking Also, I said uncensured instead of
I
uncensored,
know,
which is
but it's great.
We're doing good. But thank you, listeners, for coming along. We've really enjoyed having you. We're really happy to let you hear Sturge. In case you don't know him already, he's fantastic and great. Go check him out if you're on Medium. Thank you very much. I'm eternally mortal, and I hope you find smiles this day.
And I'm the accidental monster. You can find us both on medium.com or through themonsteralley.com. That's themonsterally.com. And remember to follow yourself always.